There is no such thing as human community without the earth and the soil and the air and the water and all the living forms. Without these, humans do not exist. In my view, the human community and the natural world will go into the future as a single sacred community, or we will both perish in the desert. These words of eco-theologian and Roman Catholic priest Father Thomas Berry undergird the heart of my call to ministry. In my ministry, in my grant reports, in every report I've written to diocesan convention on holy hikes, I echo these very words of Thomas Berry because they encapsulate a resounding truth that we must take to heart, that we must inwardly digest, and that we must outwardly manifest as intensely as we are able. And so I share it with you again. There is no such thing as human community without the earth and the soil and the air and the water and all the living forms. Without these, humans do not exist. In my view, the human community and the natural world will go into the future as a single sacred community, or we will both perish in the desert. This Sunday, as you know, kicks off the season of creation when we journey through 6 weeks, each with a different theme, tying our worship to the natural world, the rest of God's creation. In my sermon on Sacred Earth Sunday 3 years ago, kicking off the season of creation then, I shared this very same quote from Thomas Berry, and I commented on it, this reflection. I said, these words are sufficient unto themselves. The rest of my sermon is really just commentary, because Father Thomas Berry has so perfectly captured the truth that all of life, all of creation, is connected in a web of interdependency, and our existence is intimately connected to even the most basic things like soil and air and water. The environmental crisis of our day is not just worldly problems, but a deeply spiritual crisis of a fractured relationship between humanity and the earth. My sentiments remain unchanged. The salvation of humanity and the restoration of the earth are not two separate stories. We are part of creation, yet we have written the story of salvation as if it were a story for humanity. Humanity is in the garden. We violate our trust in our relationship with God. We're kicked out of the garden. God comes to earth to walk with us as a human, to ultimately heal that relationship. And we've told this story over and over again in the most anthropocentric way. And we have forgotten the garden, the creatures affected by our fallen ways, the land and the water. The early church recognized the link between our salvation story and the restoration of the rest of creation. In his letter to the Christians in Rome, St. Paul says, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God." And Paul continues in that same chapter of Romans. He says, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only creation, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, for the redemption of our bodies." Our salvation is linked to the salvation of the whole of creation. In God's snarky little dialogue that we heard with Job earlier, God asks Job, "Were you there when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Or who shut the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb?" And that long kind of dialogue there. Did you catch that feminine image for God right there? Seriously, if God is the source of all creation, whose womb then is it from which creation burst forth? None other than God's. This imagery in that dialogue with Job seems to echo that of the Genesis, the creation account found in the Hebrew Scriptures. So I want to share that with you, starting at Genesis verse 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and earth, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now we get so wrapped up in that act of creation, that big dramatic, God said, "Let there be light," that we miss the water that pre-exists all of creation. I'm gonna read it again, listen for it. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and earth, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. This is the amniotic fluid of creation. The creation story is a birth story. Waters, darkness, and then out into light. We were birthed with creation all together from the womb of God. And so our salvation, our destiny, is wrapped up in one destiny with all of creation. In the letter of Ephesians that we heard today, we are given a glimpse of a great mystery that early Christians taught openly, but that we have forgotten. St. Paul writes in what we heard earlier, "With all wisdom and insight, He has made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure that He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth." I'm going to read that again and take this at face value, because this mystery is pretty amazing and wondrous. He has made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure that He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. There's a Greek word for this mystery, one word. It is apokatastasis. Say it with me, apo. Catastasis. Apokatastasis. Say it. I'm going to quiz you on all these Greek words at the end of the year. So, apokatastasis means universal restoration, or restoration of all things. That means every person, every creature, every plant, every life form, every mountain, all of creation restored in Christ. It appears, this word, in the book of Acts, where the writer speaks of Jesus, saying that He, quote, "must remain in heaven until the time of universal restoration that God announced long ago through His holy prophets." There are prophecies throughout the Scriptures that point to this mystery. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Just as in Adam all have died, so in Christ will all be made alive. There are scriptures throughout the Bible that point to this restoration of all things in Christ. The plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in Him. Things in heaven and things on earth. For almost 2,000 years, Christians have waited for Christ to come again. But the truth is, Christ has come. Just as Christ left bodily, so He has come back in body. Just as He ascended into heaven, He has returned to earth descending from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit upon you and me in baptism. Christ has come again in the body of Christ, which is the church. And every Sunday we are nurtured with the body of Christ to be the body of Christ in the world. And now, we as the body of Christ in the world know the mystery that we are here to manifest, the restoration of all things. From the amniotic, pregenerative waters of Genesis, we are birthed from eternity with the rest of creation and have been consecrated to be instrumental in God's plan prepared from the beginning. About 450 years ago, St. Teresa of Avila shared this prayer. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. How will we work for the building up of this single sacred community of which Thomas Berry speaks? What ways and patterns of our living must we be willing to change or even sacrifice to heal the damage that we have inflicted through the ages upon creation? Are we willing to change our ways, both small and big, to manifest our destiny prepared since the beginning of creation? The time is now. The time is always now. Apokatastasis, now. There is no such thing as human community without the earth and the soil and the air and the water and all the living things. Without these, humans do not exist. In my view, the human community and the natural world will go into the future as a single sacred community, or we will both perish in the desert.